Thank you for listening today to the Minister of Sermon and Song. We're glad to have you with us. We're in John chapter 9. We have been discussing and preaching from John chapter 9, verse by verse, about the healing of a blind man that was born blind. In case you're with us for the first time on the broadcast, you will need for me to say just a few words here as to where we are. Here Jesus saw the boy blind, or the man blind. I keep calling him a boy. I don't have any idea how old he was. It doesn't say, but the scripture uses the word man. So here the man was born blind, been blind all of his life. The disciples saw him when Jesus did, and they said, "Who sinned, his parents or him, to make him blind?" Jesus said, "Neither his parents nor him sins caused this man to be blind." And so he stooped down, he spat on the ground, made clay, anointed his eyes with the clay, told him to go to the pool of Siloam and washed, and he did. And he came back seeing. Never had seen before, but now he was able to see. All right, so when he came back, they began to ask him questions. Who did this? And he said, "Jesus is the man that told me to go." And then a little bit later on, he said, "He is a prophet." And they kept pinning him down. And because Jesus had done this on the Sabbath day, the religious crowd wanted to condemn him. And they had already decided, it says here in these scriptures, that anyone who would believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ of Israel, they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. Frankly, it's almost that way today. If you take a real stand for God, you're not going to get along with the religiously correct crowd. You're just not going to get along with them at all, because you're going against the grain of what they have wound up believing or teaching. All right, now we're down to verse 24. "Then again called they the man that was blind." This is the second time now that they've called him before them. "And they said unto him, Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." Now, isn't that terrible that they would, because of their religious prejudice, they would say to the young man, "Don't go around saying that Jesus put clay on my eyes and opened mine eyes. Don't say that. Say God opened mine eyes." There's one thing about it. By this time, they had to recognize that there'd been a change. They had to recognize that his eyes were opened. They had to recognize that some miraculous thing had taken place. But they said, "Give God the praise. And we know that this man is a sinner." Accusing Jesus Christ of being a sinner. Now that is very, very dangerous ground. And then verse 25, "He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I know I see. Whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I just don't know about that. I won't argue about that with you, but I do know that I was blind and now I see. He was basically saying to them, "I'm not going to follow your instructions. I'm absolutely not going to change my statement that Jesus is the one who made the clay and opened mine eyes when I washed in the pool of Siloam." And frankly, that's the way we ought to be. When we know Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins, that we're forgiven, that we have been washed in the blood, that we have our spiritual eyes open, then we ought to be proud to say, "The Lord Jesus Christ did it. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood there on the cross and the applying of that blood on the mercy seat in heaven, our sins are forgiven. Our blinded spiritual eyes have been opened, and now we can see." Then they said unto him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Will you follow him too? The word disciple means a follower. He said, "You've asked me, I've told you, you keep on asking me. What's the matter? What's the problem? Why don't you take my answer? Are you going to also be his disciple?" Now, I'm sure that upset some of them. "And then they reviled him." Now, can you imagine that? The poor man hadn't done a thing in the world but have his eyes open. He hadn't done a thing in the world but obey Jesus and go wash in the pool of Siloam and came forth seeing, and here they revile him. Well, that's the way it's always been in the history of the church. The true church has always been reviled by the false church. The true church has always, the true Christian has always been persecuted by those who would not receive the pure, simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. Now, they say, you are a disciple of Jesus, you following him, but we're following Moses. Well, it's all right. Moses was a great person. Moses was a great prophet of God. Moses was a great man of God. But he doesn't hold a light to who Jesus is. And frankly, if I had heard this, been there and heard this, I'd say, listen, I'd prefer to follow a man who can open blinded eyes than to follow Moses. Well, anyway, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, they've been told, and it's been clearly explained to them, they just refused to receive the fact of who Jesus was. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You're supposed to be in a position of knowing what's going on here. You're supposed to be in a position of understanding. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Boy, he really preached them a sermon. Now, here's a man that had not had the opportunity to study. Here's a man that had not had the opportunity to go to seminary. Here's a man that had not the opportunity to go to the classes of education and training, and standing right up here in front of this bunch of Pharisees and telling them very pointedly and very blank, straight out, why, in your position, you're supposed to know these things. Why is it that you don't know that Jesus is opening eyes and Jesus is performing miracles? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. We'll come back to that expression a little bit later on. But he said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So the blind boy recognized something had happened, and it had to come from God, and that the man that had spoken to him, at least he thought man that had spoken to him, and Jesus is the God-man, that had spoken to him, had opened his eyes. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. That's about all they can do. Whenever somebody has a real experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and they have a knowledge of what God can do and what God has done for them, and it's being denied by the religiously correct and by the hierarchy and the religious leaders, that's about all they can do is just simply say to him what this boy said, and then all they can do is cast him out. So that's what they did. They cast him out, eventually out of the synagogue or wherever they were having the meeting. Now, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, let's find out tomorrow what he said when Jesus found him after he had been cast out of the synagogue.